Well, good morning, brethren. We don't get to say that very often. Usually it's good afternoon, but good morning to everyone today. Welcome to any guests that may be here. And we went through a long, long dry spell with no rain at all, and now the spigot's turned on wide open. I know on the way down here, about 2 miles from here, it was raining so hard we could hardly see to drive in front of us. But we're very thankful for the rain that we have received and are still receiving. It helped build back up the water tables a little. God certainly does look out for the well-being of His people. He has our best interest in mind in our everyday lives. Brethren, He won't force His will upon any of us. But if we ask Him, He has the power to help us in whatever trials we're facing in our lives. Let's look at some of the attributes of God in our time today. You know, in Yellowstone National Park, Old Faithful is a famous geyser. It was named so in 1870 because it erupts at somewhat consistent and predictable intervals. God is always faithful, and we should learn to take Him at His word. But the question is, do we? All too often, doubt slips in and interrupts what we should be focused on. How much can you and I be counted upon to be faithful in our lives, brethren? So the first attribute of God that I want to focus on today is that He is very faithful. He's faithful to the work to be done, and He's faithful. He's faithful in everything that He's accomplishing in our lives. You know, let's look at an example of this in Psalms chapter 37 and verse 3. Psalms chapter 37 and verse 3. Here it states, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness." You know, that's one of the things that's really comforting to us as God's people, is that because we can trust Him and know that He is faithful to accomplish the purpose that He has set forth, it actually is nourishing to us as His people. So by trusting in the Lord and doing good, David likes being fed on His faithfulness. We get our spiritual nourishment from Him. Let's look at another example of this in Psalms chapter 89. Psalms 89 and verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like You, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds You. So God's faithfulness is like a shield that illuminates from Him. All good relationships are built on the foundation of faith and faithfulness, a mutual trust born out of trustworthiness. A good marriage is largely defined as a faithful wife and a faithful husband. A good friend, or a true friend, or a faithful friend, not a fair-weathered friend, but one who loves at all times. And brethren, that's the one thing that we can take comfort in. God definitely loves each and every one of us. And He loves us all the time, not just part of the time. Brethren, God is faithful and true to His people and to those He has called out of this world. While we're in the book of Psalms, let's go over to chapter 98 and read verse 3. Psalms 98 and verse 3. He has remembered His mercy and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth has seen the salvation of our God. So God is very faithful to His people. And to the purpose that He has set forth. The next attribute we want to look at of God's character is God is always there. And while we're focusing on Psalms, I know a lot, but David has so much to say about so many topics, and Psalms just happens to be one of my favorite books of the Bible. But Psalms chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. There are many who say, "Who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart, more than in the season of that their grain and wine increased. I will lie down both in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." You see, God is the one where our protection comes from, and He's the one who comforts us. And He's able, and by doing that, it's able to, you could sleep better at night. You don't have to worry about things that you normally would have to worry about. See, God is our protector. He's always there for us. As we draw closer to Him, we can take comfort knowing that He is there with us. See, that gives us peace of mind. Psalm 68, verse 19. Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Now, the key word there is daily. And what else should we be doing on a daily basis? Prayer and Bible study. That's how God loads us. That's how God strengthens us. That's how God renews us on a daily basis. My glasses are fogging up. Pardon me a second. By staying in contact with God, He renews us each day and helps us through the challenges that we face. You know, I was in the process of changing a tire on a tractor one day. And that morning when I said my prayers, I asked God, I said, "You know, just help me in all that I do throughout today." And I'd wrestled that thing around, and I finally got it off. Took it to the shop, got it fixed, brought it back on. I'm like, "Oh, good night. This thing's about to kill me." It was a pretty good sized tar. And I thought, man, I've got to get that not only put up on the hub, but I've got to get those bolt holes lined up. So I got it up on the hub, and I looked down, and the bolt holes were lined up perfectly. And I'm like, "Thank you, Father, because I don't know how much more I could wrestle with this thing." So, you know, others can see that there's something different about us. Sometimes they think our religion is crazy, but that will change in the future too. See, other people notice the things that God does for us. They don't always admit it, that that's where it's coming from. And something like changing a tractor tire or something like that, something small like that may seem very insignificant. But let me tell you, brethren, it's not insignificant to God. It's how much you want God involved in your daily life. How much you want Him to lead every step that you take and everything that you do. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 23. Remember, I mentioned earlier that other people do notice. They notice there's something different about us. They think we're strange, but they do notice something's different. And there is coming a time in the future when the people will really take notice. Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, "In those days 10 men from every language of every nation will grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, 'Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you.'" God also wants to be here for each and every one of us, brethren. You know, in today's society, we may be ridiculed. And with the changes that's happened recently in our country, we're going to be ridiculed even more. Because people don't want people to stand up and take a stand. They don't want anybody to believe in anything. They want everybody to be accepting of everything. Everything's wonderful. Well, God has a different view. He wants us to stay committed to Him. And He will stay committed to us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. See, God is the one who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. How many times this week has Kevin sent out prayer requests for different people that's having different issues going on in their life? And God has miraculously answered every one of those prayers. You know, that's a wonderful comfort that we have in our lives. But God also wants us to comfort each other with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by Him. You know, and by praying for one another, encouraging one another in some way, we can do this. It doesn't matter what way it is. It can be something very small. Doesn't have to be anything any significant. But the main thing is that God wants us to comfort each other just as He gives us comfort. And that's something He wants us to share, and that's an extension of His love. The next area I want to focus on in an attribute of God is trust. Trust is something that we can definitely rely upon when it comes to God. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and we'll read verses 5 and 6. Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. That's very true, brethren. God is the only resource that we have that's 100% of the time we can trust that He will do what He says He will do. He will not waver from that. He can always be counted upon, no matter what the circumstances is that we're facing in our lives. Let's go for an example of this in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 31. 2 Samuel 22, verse 31. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to those who trust in Him. You see, God is here to protect His people if we will trust in Him. You know, no matter what circumstances we're facing in our lives, what challenges that we're facing, the trust that we have in God comes by renewing ourselves on a daily basis and renewing ourselves through prayer and Bible study and fasting on an occasion, not just on atonement, but fasting occasionally is another good way of helping with that too. And has a lot of times when I'm driving down the road, as I seem to do quite a bit, you know, that's a time to meditate too. You can think about the Bible study that you've done that morning or a sermon that you've heard, or a lot of times I use that time to pray for someone else who I know is going through a problem. It's not any great thing on my part, but it's something that God expects from each and every one of us. Let's go back to the book of Psalms in chapter 4 and verse 5. Psalms chapter 4 and verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. David knew very well where to put his trust and who he could rely upon. David looked to the one he could trust to help him through his life. Look at all the trials that David faced. How many times did he run for his very life when he was the pre-anointed king to take Saul's place? How many times did he have to run from Saul? How many times did Saul try to strike him down? But he always put his trust in God, and God took care of him. Psalms chapter 7 and verse 1. O Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me. You know, we've been, as for our family Bible study, we've been going through the book of Acts, and we're getting toward the end of the book, and, you know, Paul throughout his life, after Christ struck him down, every place that he went to, every city that he went to, the first thing he did was went into the synagogue and start teaching. Sometimes he only got to teach for a few days, sometimes a year or two, but he always ended up getting beat and run out of town, but he kept right on going. It's because he knew where to place his trust. He said, David looked to God when he faced persecution, even of his own doing. Sometimes we're our own worst enemies. Sometimes the mistakes that we make actually bring persecution upon ourselves. But you know what? God will forgive our mistakes, just as he did David, and he'll help us through the mistakes that we've made. You know, David did make mistakes, but the important part is he always returned to the source. And brethren, that's what we need to do too. Let's go to Psalms chapter 9 and verse 10. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Again, we have our part to do, and we have to seek God. But if we do that and put our trust in Him, He will be there to help us. We need to seek God with all our heart, brethren. God is very merciful, but we have to put our trust in Him. You know, when I was younger, it was like, I can do this. I can do anything. No, I can't. That's what I had to learn. But the key part there is, I can do anything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that was a lesson I had to learn. And that's a lesson we all need to learn. Let's go to Psalms chapter 32 and verse 10. Psalms 32 and verse 10. Here's some encouraging words from that David wrote about God. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. You see, God is our helper too. That's the next point I want to focus on. I kind of jumped right into that, but you know, God is the one who we can trust, but God is also there to help us in every aspect of our lives. Many times in his life, David had to cry out for help to deal with many trials that he faced in his life. And brethren, we can too. He wants to help us, but we have to ask for it. God won't force his will on anyone. But if we ask for that help, it's like the light switch that's here behind this power. If you turn the light switch off, there's no power here. The power's there, waiting in reserve. And when we ask for it and flip the switch, boom, God's there to take care of it. Psalms chapter 30 and verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. See, God will be there to help us. David looked to God to sustain his very life many times. How many times in our lives has God sustained us? Sometimes we're going to be surprised one of these days exactly how many times he did intervene. But, you know, on a daily basis, there's little things that he works out for us we may not even be aware of. But I'll give you an example of that. When my oldest daughter was about two, and I was going up to the stockyards for a day. And I was coming down the road, and I was just getting ready to make the turn right to go towards Hillsboro where the stockyards are. And just out of the blue, I'd never done this before, and it's never happened since then. The thought came to my head, you need to go up to the gas station and check the air pressure in the tires. Like, okay, so instead of turning right, I went on ahead. Well, as it worked out, the gas station is right across from the firehouse. Well, as soon as I got there, I heard the sirens take off. And I'm like, So I didn't pay any attention to it. They turned right where I just came from. Went on up the road a little bit, and I just went on checking the air and all my tires. Come back, got them all checked, drove up the road, turned left again to go back up towards Hillsboro. And what had happened a few moments before that, a car and a pickup truck had a head-on collision. The car burst into flames, and there was three people in it that got burned up. And the guy in the pickup truck was severely crippled for the rest of his life. Had that thought not have come to my mind right at that particular time, I may have been involved in that very accident, and my oldest daughter may not be here today. You know, how many times in our lives does God put a thought in our head that makes us go a different direction from what we're going to do, even for a moment, that allows something like that to clear its path out of the way so that his people don't come into any harm. Now, I forgot where I was. Psalms 30, verse 10. Did I read that one yet? We're going to read it again anyway. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. Now, let's go to Psalms 54 and verse 4. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. Our very existence a lot of times depends on the decisions that we make on a daily basis. It's awful easy to go ahead and get started into the day without taking time to ask for help throughout the day. Or to say, well, I know I need to do Bible study, but don't have time. Got to get this done. You do have time. You need to make the time. See, God has made available to each of us a special helper. See, Christ told his disciples that he had to go to the Father so the helper could come. That's in John chapter 14, verses 15 and 16. John chapter 14, verses 15 and 16. Here Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The help we have from God gives us the strength to face whatever it is that comes our way on a daily basis. It'll give us the strength to face whatever comes our way as a church or an organization in the future. We've faced that many times over the years. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6. Hebrews 13 and verse 6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Chapter 13, verse 6. See, we don't have to fear what man can do to us because God will be there to help us. And if we're persecuted for doing what's right, God will help us through that too. The next attribute of God's character I want to look at is encouragement. Encouragement is an aspect that we all need, and God is our greatest resource for it. He gives it out freely. When we have a problem we are facing, He gives us so many aspects to be encouraged by: His creation, His plan of salvation, the Sabbath, meeting with others of like mind, and sharing a meal together is all things that we have the opportunity to do before God. Let's look at an example of Paul being encouraged. That's in Romans chapter 1, verse 9 through 12. Romans chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I may make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means now, at my last, I find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. So, brethren, when we meet together like we are on the Sabbath today, it's encouraging. It's encouraging to see people on each and every Sabbath, to talk to them. It's very encouraging. See, the fellowship that we share with one another is a wonderful thing. And God wants us to do that as often as we possibly can. Another way God has of encouraging us is answered prayer. Answered prayer is one of the most effective ways God uses to encourage His people. If we're seeking God with our whole heart and keeping His commandments, He tells us to ask whatever we will, and He will answer. And you know, the key thing to this is, the closer we draw to God, the more we allow Him to lead our lives, we're not going to ask for things that's going to be harmful to us. God wants us to ask for things to help us through our journey in life. And He has promised that He will do that. Let's go to John chapter 14, verses 13 or 14. John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. God says, I'm not going to hold anything back from you. As long as you're doing your part, you're seeking me on a daily basis, and you're doing your part, He said, I'll take up the slack. I will help you. The next attribute of God that I want to look at is God is our rock. Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 2. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. God is that solid foundation. He's that thing that we can lean up on, and we don't have to worry that we're putting too much pressure on Him and He's going to collapse under it. I don't have to worry about that. God's there for us. He's our one true source of strength, the solid foundation. He is our true fortress and one who delivers us out of the trials that we face in our lives. Let's go to 2 Samuel 22 and verse 2. And He said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. David relied heavily upon God for his very existence. He fled for his life many times, and each time God helped him through it. And he does the same thing for us today, brethren. There's no problem that's too big. And the good part is, there's no problem that's too small for God not to care about. When it's something that one of his children needs, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, I can remember years ago in the church hearing a child pray because his goldfish had died. And he went in there and the goldfish was alive in the bowl. You know, things like that happen. So it doesn't matter. God is there to encourage us. And he wants us to know that he is our solid foundation. He's the one under our feet that we can stand on, because we can't stand by ourselves. Psalms 18, verse 31. Psalms 18 and verse 31. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the Lord God of my salvation be exalted. You know, Christ used the example of whoever hears these things and does them is like a man who built his house on a rock. That's in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended. The floods came. The winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And if our foundation is on the rock of God the Father, we won't fall either, brother. Our foundation has to be firmly planted upon God and his way of life. If we do, then when we face trials in our lives, we'll be able to stand and weather the storm. The question is, what's holding you back? What's holding me back? If there's anything in your life that's holding you back from this, you need to remove that. You need to allow God to fully and completely yield to him and his spirit, and he will be that solid rock and foundation we can come upon. Today, we've looked at six attributes of God's character. He's faithful. He's always there. He's trustworthy. He's our helper. He's our encourager. He's our rock. You know, if you take the first letter of each word, guess what it spells? Father. That's exactly right. He is our Father. God is our loving Father that cares very much about each and every one of his children. He gives us the tools that we need to succeed. If we need anything to help us on our journey, all we have to do is ask for it. You know, we don't get a lot of things right in this country, especially nowadays. But a couple weeks ago, we did have a good celebration, Father's Day. But how many of us took the time out on Father's Day to thank our ultimate Father? Because you know what? We should be doing that on a daily basis. Because God is our Father. You know, he wants us to follow him and to lean upon him and not on our own understanding. He sets the example for all fathers to follow.
I'm going to put this statement on marriage on the information table after services.